ocean when we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe.
We're reading from the New Testament book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 to 21. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. May God give us understanding of this word.
Hey, happy Australia Day. This is the great South Land of the Holy Spirit. And my prayer is that a great spiritual awakening will cover this land. Are you with me in that? And what better day than Australia Day 2020 for God to outpour his Holy Spirit in revival? Are you with me with that? Amen. Scott Morrison, when he was treasurer, stood up in Parliament with a lump of coal in his hand. And looking across at the opposition, he said, "This is coal. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. It won't hurt you." This morning I'm going to preach about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. It can only encourage you. They say that fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And I can assure you that I'm no angel. I could have chosen a non-controversial subject and made it easy for myself. We don't want to go too deep in our teaching about the work of the Holy Spirit because we don't want to stir up controversies. We avoid talking to each other about the Holy Spirit because we sense that people in our fellowship may have different views and have different experiences than we have. We don't want to go there. Paul in Romans 14:17 says, "The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And my prayer is that we may enjoy righteousness and peace and together have joy in the Holy Spirit. In the passage that Lenore just read, Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 21, we see the Apostle Paul addressing ordinary Christian people. People wanting to live a normal Christian life. He's dealing with the Christian living. He has told them to be imitators of God, to live a life of love, to keep away from sexual immorality and any kind of impurity. They are to live as children of light. They are to try to discern and do what is pleasing to the Lord. He tells them to look carefully at how they walk, how they conduct themselves. He says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And one thing more, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Just of interest, I looked up this verse in three different commentaries. They all had much to say about not getting drunk with wine, but they were silent about being filled with the Spirit. They sidestepped the issue. Again, fools rush in where even John Calvin feared to tread. The question we ask of the Apostle Paul is, how can we live the kind of life you describe in this passage? How can we do all that? Paul's answer is, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Only by being filled with the Spirit will we enjoy righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit, we will live a life of love, we will rejoice and enjoy a close relationship with other Christians. We will speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We will sing and rejoice together. Joy in the Holy Spirit will cause us to sing and make music in our hearts to the Lord. Filled with the Spirit, we will always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful picture of the church? In a church like that, we want to be in the company of believers 8 days a week. I want it. I want to be an imitator of God. I want to walk in love as Christ loved me. I want Christ to shine on me. Where do I sign up? Where do I get it? How do I get it? The answer is right there. Be filled with the Spirit. Great. But what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? How can we be filled with the Spirit? How do we know when we're walking in the Spirit? Before we answer those questions, we need to clearly understand that if you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to understand that no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3. You cannot believe and make Jesus Lord and live as a Christian life, except by the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, he says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Or to put it another way, if you are in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. There's another thing that we need to understand. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a force or a power. You can have a piece of me, but you can't have the person of the Holy Spirit in part. You either in Christ and have the Holy Spirit, or you're not in Christ and do not have the Holy Spirit. All Christians have the person of the Holy Spirit. So let's tackle those three questions. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 answers this question rather well. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. The first thing we notice is a comparison between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. This is not the only time we find this kind of analogy in the Bible. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came upon the church, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The people in the neighborhood looked at these believers and mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." They were not drunk. They were celebrating. Something of great importance, an epic event had taken place. It was time to rejoice. God's Spirit had been poured out. They now prophesied, declaring the wonders of God. The gospel would have been foremost on their minds. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the salvation of all who believe would have been their central message. Joel's prophecy had been fulfilled. They had experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it had come with fire. Exactly what John the Baptist said the Christ would do. They rejoiced. Jesus had kept his promise. He had sent the Counselor to be with them forever, and he would guide them into all truth. The Holy Spirit is still active in the church today. What he did in the early church, he continues to do today. He does its work in us and through us. He still fills God's people. He's at work changing, molding, and shaping us to be more like Jesus Christ. It's a work of sanctification. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. In this verse is a contrast between being drunk and being filled with the Spirit. And the first thing we notice is that getting drunk with wine leads to debauchery. Some translate this word as unrestrained living or running riot. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Self-discipline is choosing to do what is right when you feel like doing wrong. This biblical illustration and comparison helps us to understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit. To be drunk with wine means we are under the influence or control of alcohol. To be drunk means that our mind, our feelings, our wills, our actions, our speech are under the influence of wine. On the other hand, to be filled with the Spirit means to be under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit. We sometimes speak about someone being full of life. They're enjoying life. They're beaming with life. They're celebrating life. Think about someone preparing for the holiday of a lifetime, or a young lady planning her wedding. They're full of it. They are possessed by it. They talk about it all the time. The holiday, the wedding, controls their thinking, their interest, their attitude towards everything. You can't be with them for a minute without them talking about it. They're absorbed by it. They're controlled by it. They have a passion for it. And that is what this verse tells us should be our relationship to the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit means to be under his influence. He controls our thoughts, our emotions, our feelings, our desires, our words, our actions, our everything. For me to live is Christ. So when we think of being filled with the Spirit, what we really mean is that the blessed person of the Holy Spirit is influencing our thinking, our interests, our attitudes towards everything. He is dominating the whole of our lives. We want to be filled with the Spirit, but how do we go about it? Point two, how can we be filled with the Spirit? The answer is also in this verse. I'm sorry to do this to you, but to understand this, we need a lesson in grammar. When I grew up, we had a school subject called English grammar, and we had a grammar book that we had to study or supposed to study. When I went to university to study New Testament Greek, I had to brush up on grammar. They did it to me, so I'm going to do it to you. Be filled in this sentence is in the imperative form. Of course, you would know exactly what that is. It's an instruction. It's a command. God orders us to be filled with the Spirit. We also need to note that it is a continuous command, like go on being filled or be filled over and over again. It's not a matter of being filled with the Spirit once and then go on to live on this great gift. We are to be filled constantly. Then to complicating things, in this phrase, be filled with the Spirit, the verb is in the passive tense. The passive tense is used when we want to emphasize the action rather than the person. It means that the subject is less important than the action itself. In effect, it says, go on being filled. It does not say, go on filling yourself with the Spirit. That is something we cannot do. What we can do, however, is allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and to influence us. Can you see the tension here between a command, something that we must do, and the passive role we play in obeying the command? A tension between what we are to do and what God does for us. A tension between what we are to do on a continual basis and what God is doing continually for us. We can make a mistake in choosing one or the other. We can concentrate on the command and think this is something we must do, something that we are responsible for, something that we must obtain. Or we can go completely passive, just cease from any action, stop thinking, and practice the art of abandonment, resignation, and surrender, a kind of let go and let God type of attitude. We find the same tension in Philippians 2:12-13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. We have a command to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But all the time, it is God who is at work in us, both to want to do his will and to actually do that which pleases him. Paul claims in Philippians chapter 4:13, I can do all things. And you would say, Paul, you're boasting. But he goes on, through him who strengthens me. In saying I can do all things through him who strengthens me, Paul is not contradicting himself. He sees a tension. We see this tension throughout the Bible. Paul can say, I can do all things, but in reality, I'm only doing it because of a greater power that enables me to do so. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things by means of the power which is given me through the Holy Spirit. I can do them I can't do them on my own. But I do them because of the way in which he enables me to do them. I'm not passive, but I'm active in pursuit of these things. From this, we understand that there are things that we must do. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. But in essence, it is the Holy Spirit who sovereignly influences and controls our lives. You may be there on the edge of your seat, expectantly waiting for me to give you the 7 steps to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you got a pen and paper? Sorry. Be filled with the Spirit does not come with an IKEA or Lego type instruction booklet. There is no 1300 number to call if you get into strife. We have to work it out from God's revealed will in the Bible. So let me give you some pointers. As a deer pants for flowing streams of water, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. From these verses, we get the idea that if you want to be filled with the Spirit, you must desire this infilling. The psalmist talks about a soul panting and thirsting after God. Jesus also talks about thirsting and drinking and believing in him. To receive the Holy Spirit, you must believe and trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for your salvation. To be filled with the Spirit, you need to desire the Holy Spirit of God to take control of your life. Develop a passion for the Holy Spirit. Trust God to make you willing for this, and cause you to hunger and to thirst for this, for his anointing. Jesus said, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Here we have a threefold promise with a threefold guarantee. He goes on, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What you have to do is just ask. Want it. Ask. God wants you to be filled with his Spirit. When you pray and ask him for this, you are praying according to his will. You are praying for something that he wills to give you. I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours, says the Lord Jesus. I'm a poor manager of my life. I need help. I need the Spirit controlling my life and influencing my thoughts, my words, my behavior. I believe that God wants to fill me with his Spirit. He does not tire in hearing my prayers. So I pray often. I ask again and again for the filling of the Holy Spirit. I desire everything that God wants to give me. I ask God to remove all my fears of what I may get. I know that God is good. If I ask for a fish, he will not give me a snake. If I ask for a spiritual gift, he will give me a genuine gift. He will not give me something that will hurt me. So I ask with boldness, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. As we have seen, the filling of the Holy Spirit is a controlling influence. It's not necessarily a physical manifestation, a zap of power, or a light bulb moment. The Spirit is sovereign, and he may exercise his presence in a variety of ways. It may be only when we look back on our lives that we get an understanding of the continual influence of the Spirit and realize the hand of God upon us. So, how do we know when we are walking in the Spirit? This is our final point. As we have seen on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came upon the church, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The people in the neighborhood looked at the believers and mockingly said, "They're filled with new wine." Peter had to get up and correct them. "These people are not drunk, as you suppose. The pubs are not open." The initial effect of alcohol makes people merry, jolly, talkative. They develop boldness. They happily interact with strangers. They lose their inhibitions. They become boisterous, singing, drinking songs. What was it about those believers on the day of Pentecost that made people think that they were drunk? They were joyful. They were happy, probably dancing and singing, enjoying the fellowship of other believers. They were no longer afraid. They had new boldness, telling everyone about the mighty things that God had done. Yes, they were speaking in tongues. But when you hear somebody speaking in a language that you don't understand, you don't think they must be drunk because I don't understand their language. There was something about these believers filled with the Spirit that caused them to behave in an unusual way. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Being filled with the Holy Spirit leads to a life above the ordinary. Here we have a picture of people full of joy. They are merry. They lost their inhibitions. They are lovingly interacting with one another. They minister to one another, encourage each other with the word of God, with psalms, with Bible-based hymns, with uplifting spiritual songs. There is unity. There is melody. They're all singing to the Lord in tune. This melody comes from a thankful heart. They joyfully submit to one another and do it all out of reverence for Christ. Let's look at our passage, and you will find it there in your notices in the back page, and follow with me in that passage that was read earlier. Being filled with the Spirit and walking in step with the Holy Spirit produces a change in our lives. The ultimate change is being imitators of God, to be Christ-like, verse 1. The Spirit produces in us a desire to be changed, molded, and become more like Christ. We want to walk in love. We want to love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, verse 2. We want to walk as children of light, verse 8. We will want to do everything that is pleasing to God, verse 10. Not to be foolish, but to know God's will for us, verse 17. Our deepest desire would be for Christ to shine on us, verse 14. Ask yourself, am I growing in my desire and pursuit of these things? This is evidence of the Spirit of God working in you. On the other hand, ask yourself, am I gaining victory over sinful behaviors? Am I gaining victory over sexual immorality, all impurity and covetousness? Verse 3. Am I gaining control of my tongue? Am I done with foolish talk, crude joking, and filthy talk? Verse 4. Are you growing in boldness to stand against the crowd and take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness? Have you got the courage to expose these things? Verse 11. We know we are walking in the Spirit when we see the fruit of the Spirit growing more evident in our lives. When we act lovingly to one another. When we rejoice in our relationship with Christ. When God's peace controls our heart and mind. When you notice yourself more patient, with endurance, perseverance, and resilience. When your life is marked with acts of kindness and compassion. When goodness influences all your words and actions. When you seek to imitate God's faithfulness. When gentleness and humility marks your treatment of others. When knowing you can, you exercise self-control and decide you won't. We know we are walking in the Spirit when we are using our spiritual gifts for the good of others and the building up of the fellowship of believers. Spiritual gifts is a controversial issue, but that should not deter us from exercising them. We are told not to be uninformed about spiritual gifts and eagerly desire the greater gifts. But I can't tell you how many gifts there are without stirring up controversy. Yet I will use my gifts for the good of the church. So hunger and thirst for these things. We know we are walking in the Spirit when Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the book, is our personal testimony. When the Bible becomes a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Jesus said in John 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He who calls the writing of the Bible will guide us in our understanding of it. He will give us a love for the Word of God and help us to live under its authority. We know we're walking in the Spirit when we are gospel-centered, when we are Christ-centered. Jesus goes on, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. He will convince us of sin and drive us to the cross. He will show us Christ, God's Son, nailed to a cross. Forsaken by the Father, under a curse, because all our sin has been transferred, laid upon him. He will make us listen to what Jesus is saying when he says, it is finished. The punishment has been paid in full. He will convince us that no one short of God's Son can atone for sin. We will see that this is a monumental problem beyond our ability to handle, that God himself had to deal with it once and for all. And to end, he will cause us to understand Titus 3, verses 4 to 6. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Bottom line, my exhortation to you, once you're born of the Spirit of God through coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Be baptized with the Spirit and live by the Spirit a life that is beyond amazing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we long for you. We thirst for the living God. We want rivers of living water to flow from our hearts to bless others. Grant that we may walk in step with the Spirit and allow him to control every aspect of our lives. We want to live by the Spirit, a life that is beyond amazing, out of reverence for Christ and to the glory of your name. Amen.